Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, the first 8 verses, where Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul talks about a fight that he has been in, a fight that he has to deal with every day, and just like each of us, we're all in a fight every day. We may be battling health problems. We may be struggling just trying to make a living. We may be fighting some bad habits. We may be dealing with the loss of a loved one. Or it may just be an accumulation of bad situations. And we struggle sometimes. We fight to hold on to faith, trust, and hope in Christ Jesus. We even see it in the way that we talk to each other. We say things like, "How are you? How's it going?" What we're really asking is, "How's the fight going? How are you handling the struggles that you face every day?" Because we're all facing them. And sometimes if we hear how someone else is dealing with them, it helps us. It strengthens us. Paul's describing this fight to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. And he tells him to fight the battle well. And then he tells him what he means by fighting the battle well in verse 19 when he says, holding on to faith and a good conscience. You see, if we're going to fight the fight of faith, we have to have a good conscience. We have to think right. It begins in our mind. And then he tells him in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all this, flee from all sin, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." It says not only do you have to have your mind right, but you have to keep your actions right. Make sure that you're trying to do the right thing, that you're pursuing righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Then he says that's fighting the good fight of faith. That's what's involved in it. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, Paul says, "I fought the good fight." The word "good" literally means "I fought the beautiful fight." It could have been translated that way too. "I fought a good fight," he says. "I've done the things that I needed to do. I finished the race." The idea there is following a course that was laid out like in the Olympic Games. The Greeks had foot races, and they would often be sort of like our cross-country races. They'd start in a stadium, they'd go out of the stadium, they would run around the countryside and end in the stadium with the finish line. And someone else laid out the course. The runners didn't get to decide where they were going to run. The course was laid out for them. And Paul says, "I've finished the race. I followed the course that the Lord has laid out for me. I've lived my life the way that He wanted me to do it." And he says, "I've kept the faith. I didn't go off the course. I didn't take any shortcuts. I did things the way that He wanted them done." In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know, there are people who train their whole lives for a certain event. Maybe an event in the Olympics, maybe an event in some contest. And they keep training and training and they spend all their time training for it. And then the event comes and they participate in it and then it's done. And then they may start over again for the next year. But you see, our Christian life, we have to be in training too. But we're not training for something that's going to last for a few moments. We're training for something that's going to last for eternity. Something that's going to be forever. So our training should be that much more devoted. You see, the great fight is to make God's purpose our purpose. If our hearts are set on God's will and we're following Him as closely as we can, then the daily struggles that we have are going to both be worthwhile and they're going to be beneficial. Beneficial to others, beneficial to God. You see, God's purpose, His will, following Christ, those are the things that we want. But we have to fight against other things that try to destroy that. Things like doubt and fear and self-pity and despair and hopelessness, those really are a denial of God's power and a refusal of Christ's help. We're saying, I can't get any help from God. I have to do it myself. And we feel hopeless and we feel despair. All of that comes because we deny God's power. We deny the fact that He wants to help and will help when we ask. We talk about faith. You know, faith is used over 1,000 times in scriptures, over 600 times in the New Testament alone. But what is faith? Well, faith is more than just courage and hope or optimism. Faith involves more than just a simple belief and a system, a code, or a principle. It involves a person. Faith is having faith in a person. You know, sometimes we say, well, I have faith that the school will teach my child math. Well, maybe not so much anymore. But we used to say that. But when we said something like that, we didn't mean that the school building was going to teach the math. We didn't mean that the system was going to teach the math. We meant the individuals, the teachers who were there. We have faith in a person, not a system, not a place, but in people. Our faith is in Jesus, the person of Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're sure of the promises of Christ and certain of the eternal spiritual things that He spoke about. We know that what Christ said is true. And He said, be sure and be certain. How can we be sure and be certain? If we can't see these things, how can we be sure? How can we be certain? Well, one way, Hebrews 12 verse 1 tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, said, look around, look at all the other people who have gone before, who have trusted God and have seen the effects of His power, have seen how He helps them. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He said, look at the witnesses. All those people who have gone before are cheering you on, telling you to remain faithful, telling you to do what's right. So how is faith going to show itself? If we claim we have faith, how's it going to show up in our lives? Well, faith emphasizes an active belief of and defense of the Scriptures. Someone who has faith is not afraid of questions. If you have faith in God, if you have faith in His Word, you're not going to be afraid when someone asks a question about something. But rather, we have sympathy for those seeking honest answers. Somebody really doesn't understand, we want to help them understand. And the courage to admit what one doesn't know or understand. There are some things some people might ask, why did God allow this to happen? I don't know. I don't always have all the answers, but I know the one who is in charge, and I know that he can bring good out of anything. You see, faith has the hunger to find those answers in the scriptures. If it's in there, we want to find it. We want to help those find it who have questions and seek them diligently. Try to find the answers. Don't just say, well, I'll look sometime. Actually, dig in and look. And faith is a lifestyle. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not speculation without basis or evidence. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:12, that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Notice Paul doesn't say, Paul says whom, not what. He doesn't say, I know what I believe, and I've entrusted it to it. He said, I know whom, and I've entrusted to him that day. He has his faith in Jesus. Faith is in a person. Paul says, this is why I live the way I do, because I know him. I know that he is the one who's in control of things. And faith is following Jesus, understanding that God is Jesus and Jesus is God. In John 14, verse 9, Philip comes to him and says, show us the Father and we'll be happy. We just want to see God. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. You see, faith is trusting Jesus. That when we see Jesus, we see God. That what Jesus does, God is doing. So what's the fight all about? The fight of faith involves following and believing the life plan that Jesus has for us. We know that God has a plan for us, but sometimes we don't believe that plan is possible. Yeah, I know that's what you want me to do, God, but I just don't know if I can do it. We have to believe that it's possible. And that it's worthwhile. That if we do what he tells us to do, it will be worth the effort. And to be willing to trust it and live it even at the demand of our whole life. That's what the fight of faith is all about. And faith is shown in our recognition that the fight against sin is personal. Another way that we can show it is when we think about sin. We realize that sin doesn't conquer us. We give in to it. The devil can't force us to do something wrong. We have to give in to his temptation. Freedom comes when we surrender to Christ. Instead, you see, a man who's drowning is first fighting against the water. But when the life ring comes, his fight then is to hold on to the life ring. We may be struggling against sin. We may be struggling with problems in our lives. But when the life ring of Christ comes, we've got to fight to hold on to it and not give up. Why do people sin? Well, most people sin because they choose to. They've rejected God and chosen their own self as their God. They don't want to do what God tells them. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. So they're going to make up their own rules. And people sin because of that. They also sin, others, because they've lost sight of the consequences of sin. Well, I'm going to do this because, you know, it's feels good. It seems to be all right at the time. But they don't understand the consequences. They bought into Satan's lie that this life is all there is, that it doesn't matter what you do here, grab whatever you can get now, because after that you die and that's all there is. That's what Satan wants you to think. And a lot of people have bought into that. And so they sin and go against God's will. Others sin because they don't believe they can overcome it. Yeah, I know he says not to do that in his word, but it's just such a habit. I've just been doing it all my life. I grew up doing it. I'm still doing it. Still have that problem. We need the faith. We need God's help to overcome habits. He said he will help us do it, but we have to ask for that help. Another way that we show our faith is in how we respond to troubles. When troubles come, and they will come, Jesus told a parable about a man who built house on the sand and another one who built house on a rock. And in both cases, the storms came and the winds blew and the water beat against the houses. One of them stood, one of them fell. But what was the difference? Well, how they continued in their fight. Do we continue to believe and trust God's love and fight to do the right thing? Do we build on the rock? Or do we give up and give in and take the easy way and end up collapsed like that on the sand? You know, Jesus had more troubles than any of us. If you think about Jesus' life, all the things that he faced, and yet he recognized that his Father always loved him. He never felt like his Father didn't love him. In John 3:34, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God has given the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Jesus said, God's given me everything. I know he loves me. He's put it all in my hands. And in John 5:18, the leaders, the Jews, are trying to kill Jesus because he didn't follow their Sabbath rules. And he even called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. So Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Jesus said, God has given me all authority, all power in heaven and on earth. God loves the Son. The Father loves the Son, shows him what he does, will allow him to do greater works. He gives him judgment. He gives him the ability to give life. All of those things because he loves Jesus. And Jesus had troubles. God loved him that much. God gave him all that authority. And yet think of all the things that Jesus had to face. All the struggles, all the denials, all the problems that people tried to cause him. He never lost his faith. You see, another way that faith shows itself is in our dealings with others. It's a matter of motives. We need to feel that our struggles are worthwhile. If our motive is only to please ourselves and our family, if we're not seeking to please the Lord, then we'll find ourselves struggling with faith and just trying to get by. If the most important thing in your life is me, is taking care of what I need, then when problems come and we have to deal with others and they don't do things the way we think they ought to be done, we're going to get upset. We're going to get bent out of shape. Are we trying to please God or are we trying to please ourselves? You see, it comes down to our motives. If we're trying to please ourselves, then we're going to have problems because we're going to find ourselves struggling with faith. God, why did you allow that to happen? Why did you allow them to do that to me? Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well." Oh, we know that verse. But what God is saying there is that if he's not our priority, then we're on our own to get the things that we need. Now, if we don't put him first, God knows we need things. He knows we need certain things to survive. If we don't put him first, he says, you're on your own. Do the best you can. But if we put him and his kingdom first, he'll take care of those things. He'll make sure that we have what we need. So it boils down to, do we think we have to do it ourselves, or will we trust him for those things? So, there are three parts to our personal fight of faith. The first is we have to have faith in ourselves. By that I mean, not that I'm so good, but have faith that God can use me. Some people say, well, I'm not worth anything. I'm a cracked pot. No. Well, God uses cracked pots. God uses all kinds of pots. He uses some for common purposes, some for noble purposes. He uses all kinds. We have to understand that God can use you. And we have to have faith in him that he will use you. Not only that He can use us that were worthwhile to him, but that he will use us. And we have to have faith in people that when we do the things God has told us to do, that it's going to be worth the effort. So Paul says, I fought the good fight of faith. There was a father who was trying to teach his young child what faith was. And he put the little boy up on a rock and he said, jump to me. I'll catch you. The boy stood on the rock and he looked down at the ground and he looked over at his father and looked back down at the ground and sort of backed up. And his father said, look at me, not at the ground. Trust me. Well, after the first timid leap, you know what happens. After the first time a child does something, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. And that went on and on. What had at first become fear was now fun. And it's the same way with us trusting God. That first leap of faith is the fight for faith. And once we've landed in God's arms, then it becomes fun. Hey, this works. Let's do it again. Have you made the leap into God's arms? Jesus said that we must believe in him. John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. He said we must repent of our sins. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God, so your sins might be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He said we must confess our faith. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And we must be baptized, immersed in water, to have our sins taken away by the blood of Jesus. Acts 22:16, Saul was asked, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You see, that's always been the biblical plan of salvation. To believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess his name, be baptized, to have our sins taken away. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We read in Acts 8, verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. He went down, in some versions say, preached the good news there. Verse 12 tells us, when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You see, that's the reaction when somebody believes. When somebody has that fight of faith and they win and they understand that Jesus is the Messiah, that God is in charge, that he will do just what he said, their reaction is, I want to do what he said. So this morning we offer that invitation. Will you respond to Jesus today? Will you do just as they did, as we stand together and sing our invitation song?